Good morning. This is this is Precept Bible Study coming from Rolling Springs Baptist Church. And we are now studying in the book of Hebrews. And we're on lesson number 7. And in this lesson, we're going to be studying about the relationship of angels and man and Jesus to the world. And this will be chapter 2, starting with verse 5 through 18. As we always begin all of our studies, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again we come to you, praising you, Father, for the great Almighty God that you are, and thanking you, Father, for the privilege to study your word. Thank you, Father, that you pinned it down for us through these mighty men and through your Holy Spirit. And we ask now that you teach us and guide us and direct us through your Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, that we may learn of you, Father, that we may be in your will and please you in all that we do and serve you. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. We'll begin by taking a look at what we have learned so far in our study in Hebrews. So the first thing is to ask the question, why that Hebrews was written, and who to whom was it written? And we know that it was written to Jewish believers who needed to be exhorted with the truth. So in our study so far, we have learned that this is a study about encouragement, and also it's a study about warning. So we have learned in the warning that we're to pay close attention to what we have heard about salvation. This is really a letter about salvation, and it's for all believers. Therefore, we need to pay close attention. So in this study, we find that it's a study about solid food found in the world. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. So, what then are these first two chapters about? First of all, we see that it's a contrast between angels and the Son of God. And next we see that Jesus is better than the angels. They're ministers of God, and Jesus is God. And also in these chapters, first and second, we learn that God spoke through the angels and his Son. And we need to listen to what he is saying. Now, what are some things that we've learned about angels? First, we have learned that angels are ministering spirits. And also that they were sent out by God to serve him. And next we learned that the world to come was not subjected to angels, but was subjected to man. And then we have learned that man is lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, and appointed over the works of God's hands. But all things are not yet subject to him. And then we've learned that Jesus, for a little while, was made lower than the angels, to taste death for everyone, and now is crowned with glory and honor. And we also learned that God is bringing many sons to glory, and that man is free from slavery through Jesus' death, and that Jesus, our high priest, helps when we're tempted. So we're going to focus today on Hebrews 2nd chapter 5 through 18. So let's look, as we look at these verses, I'm going to read verses 5 through 8, and we'll look at what these verses are saying to us. Starting with verse 5, chapter 2. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, about which we are speaking. But someone has testified somewhere, saying, "What is man that you think of him? Or a son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him a little lower than angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have put everything in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him." We have to look at some of the scriptures in other places in the Bible to understand these verses, whether these verses are talking about man or talking about Jesus. So first, let's look at Psalms in the Old Testament, verses 4 through 9. Here we see that the term Son of Man, as is quoted in these verses, in Hebrews 2 that we've just read. And I'm going to read verse 4 through 9 of Psalms 8. What is man that you think of him, and a son of man that you are concerned about him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You have ruled over the works of his hands, and you put everything under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the animals of the field, the birds of the air, sky, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So here we're seeing in these verses, it speaks of God's creation and a man and the Son of Man. Now we have to go back a little further and look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, so that we can understand how that everything was put under subjection to man. I'm going to read verse 26 through 28 of Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the sky, birds of the sky, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth." So God created man in His own image, in the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So here we see that it's made clear that God told man, Adam and Eve, to rule over creation. So the scripture there makes that very clear. Now, let's also look at Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. Then he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. So, this was God speaking to Ezekiel, and he called him Son of Man and told him to stand on his feet. And then in the third chapter of Ezekiel, the third verse, then he said to me, Son of Man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have revolted against me to this very day. And we see again that he calls Ezekiel, God calls Ezekiel, Son of Man. And then when you go into the sixth verse of second chapter of Ezekiel, again you see, and as for you, Son of Man, you are not to fear them nor fear their words, though thistles and thorns are with you and you sit on scorpions, you are not to fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence, since they are a rebellious house. And three times then we see in that second chapter of Ezekiel that God addresses Ezekiel as Son of Man. Now, another scripture that I want to look at is in the book of Daniel, the 8th chapter and the 17th verse. So he came near to where Daniel was standing. And when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. And he said to me, Son of Man, understand that the vision pertains to the time of the end. And so again, we see that God is speaking and calling Daniel. But here it is the angel of God that is saying and calling him Son of Man. Also, I want us to look in the book of Revelation. And the reason that I'm using these scriptures is to help us understand in the verses that I just read in the second chapter, so that we can see that where it's addressed as the Son of Man, that it's referring to man and not to Jesus. But we know in the New Testament that Jesus himself refers to himself as the Son of Man. But let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 25 through 29. Nevertheless, what you have, hold firmly until I come. The one who overcomes and the one who keeps my deeds until the end, I will give him authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are shattered, as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So in these verses, we're seeing that the authority is going to be given from God to Jesus, of the entire authority. Okay? He says, the one who overcomes and the one who keeps my deeds, I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. So here we're seeing that the authority over all things are given to Jesus, but at this time, when Jesus comes, he will also bring with him the saints that will rule and reign with him to have authority with Jesus. Now, in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 10, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to break its seals, for you were slaughtered and you purchased people for God with your blood from every tribe, language, people, and nation. So Jesus then here in this is given the full authority, because the scripture says they sang the song, the saints sang the song that Jesus was worthy. He was the only one that was worthy because of what he had done. So his blood says, you purchased people for God with your blood from every tribe, language, people, and nation. And then we look at Revelation, the 20th chapter and the 6th verse. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So this is a scripture that explains that we, mankind, will reign with God and Christ during the millennial reign for 1,000 years. Now, looking back at the scripture that we just read, we're looking at these verses in 5 through 8. We saw that the Son of Man is going to be the one that has complete control, because God is the one giving him that control. And then we, in the scriptures that we read, we saw that also it was referring to mankind being given subject. He says, in the 8th verse, for in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. This is referring to man. And he now, we do not yet see all things subjected to him, to man. But we do see Jesus, who has been made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Now that is the 9th verse. And I'm going to read these verses, 9 through 18, and we'll come back and discuss the verses. I'll go now to the 10th verse in Hebrews 2nd chapter, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the originator of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, that saying that Jesus is not ashamed, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing your praise. And then the 13th verse, and again, I will put my trust in him. Behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For clearly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brothers, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he had suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Now, here we see in these verses that it teaches us that Jesus became man. And in the first chapter of Hebrews, we learn that it tells us that Jesus, being God, the Son of God. So, Jesus, we know, was the Son of God, but he was also God. And then chapter 2 that we're studying now tells of him becoming man. It's talking about his humility. In chapter 1, it was speaking of the deity, of him being God. And now in chapter 2, we see the humility where he became man. So why then did he become man? Look at verse 17. And it tells us why that he became man. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So, the only way that he could sanctify or free us was to make propitiation for us, for man, was to become like man and offer his body as the perfect sacrifice. So when he came to this earth and put on flesh, that's when he became man, and when he was able to become a sacrifice for us. Now, looking at verse 14, of chapter 2. Let's look at that verse. It tells us, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So here, the only way that he could sanctify or free us was through his death. And his death rendered the devil powerless, as we know that Satan has the power over death and over men from the beginning in Adam and Eve. We learn in Romans, the 5th chapter and the 12th verse, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all mankind because all sinned." And here it tells us in Romans that sin entered in through one man, who was Adam, and therefore all mankind became sinners. So, what led the devil to sin? If you look in the Revelations of the 12th chapter, verses 7 through 12, we find that pride, that the devil was wanting to be like God, and that's what led him to sin. He was perfect when God created him, that then he became corrupt, and so he was pushed or was sent out of heaven, and he first came and tempted Eve, and so he was wanting to be like God. So then what is the consequences to sin? And we learned in studying in Genesis that Adam and Eve suffered the results of their sin, and all mankind since them. They lost their relationship with God. So, a man lost the rule over all God's creation. This is when they had, in the beginning, God had placed them, as we read in Genesis, and give them complete rule at that time. But when sin entered, and death entered also, and therefore they lost that rule. Now, Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, tells us that unsaved men live according to the course of the world, led by the prince of the power of the air. The unsaved are the sons of disobedience. We learn that in Ephesians, that entire chapter. And I'm not taking time to read that, but you might make a note that you can go back and read that. But looking at John, the 8th chapter and the 34th verse, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." So all who sin are slaves of sin, according to the words of Jesus. But what man lost, Jesus came and died that it could be regained, and only through him. So Jesus had to become man to remedy the situation of sin and death for mankind. So Jesus doesn't come to help angels. They don't need help. But he gives help to us. We are the descendants of Abraham. So men who believe like Abraham did, he believed by faith, then this helps and it brings us to salvation. Now, let's look at verse 18. He gives aid when believers are tempted. Looking at that verse, for since he himself was tempted, Jesus was tempted, in that which he has suffered, he, Jesus, is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. So we see in this last verse of the second chapter of Hebrews that Jesus, when he came, remember, he went in to the wilderness and he was tempted there by Satan for 40 days. And he went through all the temptations that we go through. So being in the flesh as man, he took on the temptations as we do. And therefore, he knows what it's like to be tempted. And being God in the flesh as man, he can give us aid. That's what the scripture says, that he, Jesus, is able to come to the aid of those that are tempted because he has been through all the temptations that we suffer or ever will suffer. So, what then do we see about Jesus and men? In these studies that we have made in this first and second chapter, we're seeing that he is merciful and he is faithful and that he is our great high priest. So we will continue our study as we go forward in our next lesson. We'll be in lesson number 8, and this lesson is going to include, more in chapter 2. So there's so much in this, but today we were looking at the comparison of man and Jesus. We were using that part of this chapter, but next week we're going to study more in this chapter about how that we can know about our great salvation. There's so much in this, so be much in prayer as we study that we will get the full understanding through God's love and his grace. Let us close today in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you make it so clear for us that Jesus is you, Father, that he is the Son, but he is also the Father in all of his deity. He has the same comparison. And we can't understand in our finite minds of all of the understanding that we know that one day that we will have. But thank you so much that you have put these things in your word that helps us to understand about who you are, Almighty God, about who Jesus is and who the Holy Spirit is. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise and honor and glory because you're teaching us to know more about you, to know more about your Son, to know more about the Holy Spirit. And we just ask as we go forward in our study that when we come away from this entire book, Father, that we're going to know you so much more. we're going to know your Son so much more, and the Holy Spirit so much more. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is teaching us. And in knowing these things, Father, that you will be able to use us for your honor, for your glory, Father, that we'll be able to tell those in a dark world about Jesus, that they too can come to know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and have salvation. We give you the praise, honor, and glory for it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.